How likely are we to see drones delivering our food in a city like Sydney? Is this something that's going to happen soon?
Look, definitely the infrastructure and the thoughts and the planning are currently in place. This is an amazing technology that can really be realized with a bit of time and a bit of planning and stakeholder participation from as a whole of government approach. I think it is possible, but in terms of timeframes, I reckon we're about 2 to 3 years away from seeing something officially being dropped off in an urban operation. Many regulators around the world are grappling with the same types of challenges. There's a lot of commercial interests, but we got to think about the five factors that really influence the growth of this market. And obviously, infrastructure is a key part of that. Now, if we have multiple drones flying around delivering goods, we have to think about what are we doing for drone ports? What is there to support the battery charging of these different types of platforms that are out there? And obviously, public acceptance is another pillar that we need to look at and the economic drivers for that. By doing these trials and testing the waters, so to say, this technology is proven in a technical aspect, in a technical sense, it can be done. We just have to navigate around regulatory safety risk assessment and management, and obviously looking at public acceptance and how we're going to actually implement this disruptive technology in that aspect. So, the big word for drone deliveries is UTM, which is unmanned traffic management. UTM is something on everyone's radar at the moment. It's basically the network that needs to be established at a nationwide level on how smaller aircraft are going to interact with larger aircraft and manned aircraft. So it's definitely an exciting time to be in this space. And looking at technological capabilities out there, that can be done. It's been demonstrated time and time again. It's just trying to get that confidence, reliability of the actual air vehicles themselves, battery performance. I take it most of these things will be electric powered. And, the savings in emission, CO2 emissions and the greenhouse footprint from operating an electrical air vehicle versus a delivery vehicle like a motorbike or a van is significant.
What are the laws when it comes to, like, delivering of food? Is there laws in place at the moment about how food's being delivered?
Look, at the moment, we can't operate small unmanned aircraft in populous areas, so urban operations are a big, big challenge. And so all these deliveries are done in controlled environments. So these are test environments that have been set up as simulations. Once the technology can be proven in terms of robustness and reliability, then certain steps need to be taken in terms of introducing this slowly into an urban operation. Urban operations, due to the public safety aspect, need to be carefully considered and planned and mapped. And so we're starting to see a lot of these workshops that are being initiated. I've just returned from overseas from a workshop in Singapore where, some countries don't have the space that we have in terms of testing. So they have to test in an urban environment. And so we see a whole of government approach there with the Ministry of Transport, Civil Aviation Authority, and also the town planners and engineers. So the smart cities. New cities, new infrastructure, how they're going to build the next generation of buildings to support drone deliveries, whether it be small parcels or whether it be actually passenger-carrying drones. So when you're talking about a passenger-carrying drone, you're not talking about a pilot necessary in the drone. It's purely a passenger with no flying skills being taken from point A to point B. But first, we have to get past the drone delivery hurdle, and once we can safely demonstrate parcels being delivered between two points, then we can actually start introducing manned or humans into the loop.
Now, you said earlier that you think that this technology is about 3 to 5 years away. To my way of thinking, that means it's actually pretty close. So do things like Uber Eats and Deliveroo, are they about to get disrupted?
Look, I think they need to definitely have it in their future business plan, because this is definitely, it's an unstoppable occurrence, something that it's just a question of time before it becomes a reality and we see it in our skies. There is a lot of groundwork, like I said, to be done. But if in the long-term planning of delivery systems as far as Eats, absolutely. It's something that has to be in the long-term vision and roadmap.
And the safety aspect of this, I mean, sitting here listening to this, I can see in my mind drones delivering the mail, delivering packages, delivering food, delivering all kinds of things, but I can also see how this can go wrong. And, you know, you're walking down the street and a green curry falls on your head. The safety issues must be enormous.
Absolutely. And so realizing the ground risk ratio, the fall radius of different operations, those are all the considerations taken into the risk safety management system. Obviously, these systems will be flying beyond visual line of sight, and this is BVLOS, which is the next step evolution from VLOS, which is visual line of sight operations. And so when you have an air vehicle that's traveling beyond visual line of sight at an altitude below 400 feet at about 120 meters, now, you could have pizzas at 120 meters above the ground and burritos at 100 meters off the ground. It's also the volume and the saturation of that airspace. If you think about it, fast foods, everyone likes takeouts, right? Picture those takeouts airborne. Literally, there could be a corridor that would block out the sun with so many air vehicles that flying simultaneously. The recent Winter Olympics demonstrated how 1,200 drones could be launched simultaneously and flying in swarms of only two operators. So with automation, with advances in technology, LTE, which is basically your telecommunications frameworks and that, so trying to get robust systems is very, very important. And we also need to take into consideration GPS-denied environments. So when you start flying around buildings, obviously your GPS dropout is a lot greater. So you can't rely on satellites and GPS for primary navigation. So your sense and avoid, your situational awareness, you know, in terms of how these air vehicles will be keeping separation from each other. And different companies obviously developing different technologies in isolation is a no-no, because we need to integrate this as a whole of national approach. And so you can't have UTM being developed in isolation, because it has to be integrated and safely managed. And so there's questions around who's going to control this, who's going to actually manage this. Will you have Air Services Australia enabling or disabling certain routes based on air traffic volume? And we've also got emergency vehicles that are transiting through that or sharing that same airspace. So we have emergency response. We have helicopters flying through. We've got bushfires. We've got all sorts of things happening, even for police activities or emergency situations where that airspace needs to be disrupted or suspended temporarily to allow other aircraft to transit through there. So there's all these considerations that need to be taken into account, which makes it very exciting.